Well, welcome to another evening here with Zion Strumpet. Sorry I'm running a little late here. How's everybody doing out there tonight in Pal Talk Land? Good. Looks like everybody's doing pretty good. Okay. Anybody have anything on their heart to share before we go started? Anything off the bat? Kim. Looks like Kim has something to share. Good. Sister Kim, you got the mic.
I just wanted to share what the there's a lesson the Lord has been reminding me of, and he's been teaching me this lesson progressively since I've been a Christian, but he's always reminding me of it. It's like that song, "Oh, what needless pain we bear when we do not take everything to God in prayer." And I've been learning over and over again that when I don't take things to God in prayer, they don't go very well. And I'm learning as situations pop up at work and things in my life, I'm learning more and more just to take them straight to Jesus. And I just tell him exactly what's happening, and maybe even sometimes ask him why. He doesn't always tell me why, but I just tell him exactly what's happening, and I just take it to him. And when I do, it's just wonderful and amazing to sit back and watch how he handles the situation. And he always handles the situation much better than I ever could, or much better than if I told a person and the person gave me advice. Well, Jesus is a person, but I mean, you know, like someone walking around here on earth with us. And it helps to talk to people, but Jesus is the only one who truly understands everything, and it's just wonderful to sit back and watch him handle the situation. And I'm always grateful when I remember to take things to him. That's all.
Amen. Looks like sound advice to me. We should all be taking everything to the Lord. That's good, Kim. Anybody else? Should we do a couple songs then, quick? There's never a reason strong enough to ever stop praising the Lord. That's the first one. There's never a reason strong enough to ever stop praising the Lord. Whenever the going's getting tough, you gotta keep praising the Lord. Praise Him, you know that you should, for all things work together for good. Praise Him, you can never afford to ever stop praising the Lord. There's never a reason strong enough to ever stop praising the Lord. Whenever the going's getting tough, you gotta keep praising the Lord. Praise Him, you know that you should, for all things work together for good. Praise Him, you can never afford to ever stop praising the Lord. There's never a reason strong enough to ever stop praising the Lord. Whenever the going's getting tough, you gotta keep praising the Lord. Praise Him, you know that you should, for all things work together for good. Praise Him, you can never afford to ever stop praising the Lord. There's never a reason strong enough to ever stop praising the Lord. Whenever the going's getting tough, you gotta keep praising the Lord. Praise Him, you know that you should, for all things work together for good. Praise Him, you can never afford to ever stop praising the Lord. Praise Him, you know that you should, for all things work together for good. Praise Him, you can never afford to ever stop praising the Lord. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, so mighty. And I saw him high and lifted up in power and strength and authority, and he shall reign in the midst of thee forever and ever. Amen. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Is mighty, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, so mighty. And I saw him high and lifted up in power and strength and authority, and he shall reign in the midst of thee forever and ever. Amen. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, is mighty. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, so mighty. And I saw him high and lifted up strength and authority, and he shall reign in the midst of thee forever and ever. Amen. And I saw him high and lifted up in power and authority, and he shall reign in the midst of thee forever and ever.
All righty. Anybody have anything before we start yet? Okay. Last week, I said I was going to continue on this thing, do a little in-depth thing on the human will. But I feel there's a greater need at the moment to discuss the issue of learning how to recognize the presence of evil spirits in our lives. So I'm going to set that aside till next week. I feel that the Lord wants me to bring out this thing on spirits again, how to recognize them. So I set aside my plans and go try and do what I feel the Lord wants me to do. I just want to start by saying, you know, I believe, I'm not dumb. I know, I realize the Lord has given me a gift of writing. He's given me a gift so that I'm able to explain in writing very clear the things of God, the vision, you know, the vision, what God's after, what God's doing, and the true doctrines of Christianity. And it's not hard for the Lord to use me to straighten out the wrong doctrine of people, all that doctrine you've been taught in the church. All you really need is a teachable spirit and a hunger for the truth. Okay, and God can use me to help people get straightened out doctrinally. You just have a teachable spirit and a hunger for the truth. That's all you need. So it's fairly easy for the Lord to use me, as I'm saying, to help get people straightened out doctrinally. But getting people to learn how to recognize spirits, when spirits are beginning to move in themselves, when spirits are beginning to move around them, when spirits are moving in their home, when spirits are moving in the fellowship, that's quite another story, because that's something only God can teach people. I can't teach anyone how to recognize an evil spirit when it's talking to them, when it starts moving around them, in them, around them, you know. And yet, learning how to recognize these spirits, when they begin to move in us or around us or in people around us, that's an even greater need than getting our doctrine straightened out right now. So the Holy Spirit must drastically increase everyone's discernment in this whole area. You know, there's been occasions, more than a few occasions, over the last 2 years when a spirit began to move in the Zion's Trumpet chat room because someone spoke out a thought which came from another spirit. And they had no idea it was a spirit speaking to them. They didn't know how to recognize it. And they just, a spirit gave them a thought, and they spoke it out, and that unleashed a spirit in that room. This happened, you know, I won't say many times, but more than a few times, okay? And whenever it's happened, I've gone back and talked to people over that week, and very few people ever realize another spirit has begun to move. It's getting by a lot of us. I'm going to give you a recent example of this in order to emphasize my point. And this is only to emphasize the point. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, okay? Last Sunday night, probably only one or two people, if that, realized that a spirit started to move in this chat room last week when somebody brought up the issue of Facebook. Okay, now, I want you to understand something. I'm not trying to embarrass anyone. I'm not trying to embarrass the brother who brought it up. He didn't have to be here, but he's going to be here. As a matter of fact, I asked him. I wrote him and I asked him for his permission to bring this matter up and to explain it, okay? I asked for his permission to bring it all out in the open as a sort of a teaching lesson for us, and he very graciously gave me his permission. So this is nothing I'm doing behind his back or anything. He knew I was going to do this, and he gave me permission to do so because he wants to help the brethren. I can't prove it was a spirit, but it was a spirit that put that desire in his mind to ask the group if anyone does Facebook. Okay, I can't prove it, but I know it was. And he himself told me that as soon as he asked that question, he felt horrible, and he knew he shouldn't have asked it. He knew he did something wrong. Now, he didn't know it was a spirit. He didn't realize it came from a spirit. But at least he did know he was sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit to feel a checking and to know that he did something wrong, which is good, which is very good. That's some progress, okay? And my question is, how many of you in the room realized that was spirit work last week when he brought that up? You know, I don't want to show a hand. I don't want anybody to embarrass themselves. You know, I'm not trying to pinpoint anybody. I'm just saying, probably not very many realized that was a spirit. You may have felt that was a little awkward. Maybe you felt it was wrong. Maybe you didn't see any wrong with it. But did you realize that was a spirit speaking that? And it was a spirit let loose in the room. See? And I don't think very many did notice that, did realize that. Because that, it kind of grieves me because it makes me feel like I'm failing to properly equip the saints in an area that's so absolutely necessary for our spiritual survival these days. Yet at the same time, I know, I realize I can't. I don't have the power to teach people how to recognize spirits. The only thing I can do is keep warning people over and over again about how easy it is to listen to spirits, and hopefully, eventually, they get the message, you know, and they start really watching. Okay? Before we go any further, let me say something about Facebook. It's just my opinion. It's my Christian opinion, okay? I'm not trying to put anybody under bondage. But it's my opinion. I don't believe a Christian who's trying to walk in righteousness and holiness has any business being involved with Facebook or anything like that, any of those networking websites. I believe it's not only worldly, a carnal thing to involve yourself in. It's also a very dangerous thing to be involved in right now, both naturally and spiritually. You know, in a natural, even a secular press is warning people to stay off community networks like Facebook, those kind of sites, because stalkers, rapists, and murderers are utilizing those kinds of sites to set up the next victim. And I don't care how little information you put in about yourself when you first sign up, that little information can be used to gain more information about you, and it's available to more people than you think. For instance, the U.S. government, just about 3 weeks ago, the U.S. government came right out and admitted publicly that they're monitoring community networks like Facebook. In fact, Facebook was number one on the list of those community sites it's monitoring, okay, regularly, every day. Twitter is another one. That was the second on the list. Twitter was the second on the list. So unless you don't mind the government and big business and criminals getting a hold of your personal information, I think you're foolish to get, in the natural even, I think you're foolish to get involved with those kinds of things like Facebook, any community networking thing, you know, where you're involved with all kinds of other people giving you information out and all kinds of stuff. But that's not my main concern. My main concern about Facebook and those kinds of sites is spiritual. Those networking sites are like a magnet for demons. Everyone's connecting with each other, all right, mentally, in the realm of the soul and in spiritually. And when they connect with each other, they're also connecting with all the demons that people walk under, including Christians. And you may say, well, Brother Dan, I only have two or three contacts that I know these people are Christians. I only have two people I do on Facebook, and I know they're both genuine believers. So what's wrong with that? I said, well, you might have only two people on that thing who is your Facebook friends, and you know you believe they're real Christians, but how do you know those two genuine Christians aren't walking under the influence of some other kind of spirit? And how do you know how many people those two contact have contacted with? You know, you have no way of knowing how many contacts your two contacts have connected with, or how many of those contacts they've connected with are walking under the influence of other spirits. It's just like a dominoes. People keep infecting each other, and it keeps like a chain. It's a chain reaction. Suppose one of your Christian Facebook friends doesn't have very good spiritual discernment, and he or she connects with half a dozen other Christians who are involved with other spirits, especially religious spirits. Well, guess what? When you connect with him or her, you're connecting with all the spirits they're connected with through their other buddies. Okay, and soon, you all start being influenced by those same spirits. Genuine Christian or not, it makes no difference. The issue is not do you have Christian friends, the issue is do you have friends that are walking free from all spirits? That's the issue. One of the things I don't know that we're, I haven't emphasized this, I guess, enough. It's my fault. I take responsibility for it. I haven't emphasized it enough, I guess. But one of the things you got to understand is a big reason, one of the biggest reasons God called us out of the church system is because he wants us free from the demon spirits, and especially the religious demon spirits, that the majority of today's Christians walk in. The issue goes much deeper than simply the church is going into apostasy or the churches are filled with false doctrine, which is true. The great mass of Christians in today's churches are involved with demon spirits, all kinds of demon spirits. Not just religious spirits, all kinds of demon spirits. And that's probably the biggest reason, if not the big reason, God calls us out of all these churches, because he doesn't want us involved with the demons that other Christians are involved with. And we involve ourselves with those same demons when we pray with them and we take communion with them and we say the Bible with them. We go to church and we worship with them. That opens the doors to all those spirits. He calls us out so we can be pure and clean spiritually, totally pure and clean. I guess I haven't emphasized this. I've been talking about doctrine so much. I do talk about spirits, you know that, but I guess I haven't emphasized this particular angle, I guess. I don't know, but I just want to say it very clearly tonight in case I haven't said it very clearly before. In order to be sanctified, like it says in 1 Peter 1, 2, or to produce 104 fruit, like in Matthew 13, 8, or to be conformed to the image of Christ, which is talked about in Romans 8, 29 and 2 Corinthians 3, 18, to go into perfection, which is talked about in 2 Corinthians 16, 9 and Hebrews 6, 1, in order to become that glorious church that has no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, which is holy and without blemish, Ephesians 5, 27, we must not only walk free from the influence of this world, from the influence of sin, from the influence of self, we must also untangle ourselves and walk free from the influence of demon spirits. All demon spirits. All demon spirits. We have to walk free from the influence of demon spirits in our own lives, from the influence of spirits in our family's lives, from the influence of spirits in our friends' lives, and from the influence of spirits in the lives of other Christians. Okay, what good does it do to leave the church system and then turn around and connect spiritually with all kinds of Christians who are involved with spirits through something like Facebook, one of these other kinds of networks? You know, you just defeated one of the primary purposes for which God called you out. Okay? Listen, I'm not exaggerating when I say that 8 out of every 10 Christians you meet right now, I don't care if it's in the church, on the street, in Facebook, in Palatine, I don't care where it is, 8 out of every 10 Christians you meet right now are walking under the influence and the power of demon spirits, especially religious demon spirits. And something like Facebook is the perfect avenue for those spirits to contaminate and overpower the few who are trying to walk free from them. Okay, Facebook is a worldly and spiritually dangerous thing. So I'm not trying to put anybody under bondage. I'm not trying to tell anybody how to live their life. I'm just giving you my personal opinion as a servant of God. If you want to stay, I mean, aside all the natural things about Facebook and those kinds of things, if you want to stay free from spirits, you got to disconnect from Christianity. Sorry. That's the way it is. Christianity is being taken over by the demonic realm. And there's nothing you can do about it. And there's nowhere you can go to find people that aren't being taken over by that realm. Because they're all contaminating each other. You know, let me say it this way too again. Just in case I haven't said it right the first time, you know. God is asking all of us who've embraced this kind of a walk. You know, we've embraced a walk that very few Christians in this world will ever embrace. Very few. It's a very lonely walk, and we may well end up with nobody in our lives before it's all over. Maybe totally alone. I'm not saying you will be, but you could be. You know, you got to be ready to accept that kind of a thing. So you need to count the cost of what we're doing here. You know, sit down and count the cost before we just kind of trudge on, not knowing what's going on, half in, half out, half baked, you know, not really understand what's happening here, not knowing what you're doing. You sit down and count the cost, my friends, because that's what it is. If we want the best, God is offering this hour, and he's offering people the best. If we want the best, then we need to realize the price tag is very high, extremely high, way too high for the vast majority. The vast majority of today's Christians are not willing to pay that kind of a price to walk in perfect spiritual freedom. They will not do it. They'll settle for a little of Jesus and a little of the devil. They'll settle for a little life and a little bondage. They don't mind walking the influence of other spirits as long as they don't feel like they're possessed, as they don't feel like they're bound, and they can have what they want. And the devil will do that for many people. He will bind you without you feeling you're bound, without making you feel you're bound. I want to say again, this walk isn't just about getting our doctrine straight, although it is about that, because there's so many of these doctrines keep us from understanding what God wants from us and how to walk this walk. But it's not just about doctrine. It's about becoming absolutely pure and absolutely clean in spirit, soul, and eventually body. Now, we can't make our bodies clean right now because the bodies are connected to this material creation. They're fallen. There's so much you can do, you know. But you can keep your spirit clean, and you can keep your soul clean, perfectly clean. That was within our power as we yield, okay? We can't keep our bodies from decaying and dying, all that kind of stuff. But we can't keep our spirits and our soul clean or get, you know, have them clean, cleansed as we follow the Lord. And in order to achieve that goal, we're going to separate from a lot of people, including friends, family, and other Christians. And I don't want to be a party pooper, especially to people in this room who are coming forth in Christ and are, you know, but just because someone attends the Zion Trumpet chat room even, that doesn't mean they're free from spirits. Just because somebody comes in every week and Sunday and listens to me and agrees with what I say, that doesn't necessarily mean they're free from spirits. You just have spiritual union with them. I'm sorry. Every one of us in this room has to seek the Lord about every single relationship we're in or that we try to establish. Listen, the Bible says we're to know people after the Spirit. After the Spirit, not after the flesh. And I would add, not after the soul. And also what I would add, that we must also know that the ones we're being involved with are free from spirits. All right? 2 Corinthians 5.16 says this. 2 Corinthians 5.16. He says, wherefore, Paul says, wherefore henceforth we know no man after the flesh. We know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh even, yet now henceforth know we him no more at the flesh, okay? So even Jesus is not supposed to say, not supposed to look back and say Jesus is a gentle shepherd. You know, Jesus is the risen Lord, the Lord of your life, the Lord and Savior. He's your Lord. He's your master. You're supposed to know him after that way. Not after the little baby Jesus in the main. And likewise, you're not supposed to know each other as Christians after the flesh. You're supposed to know each other after the Spirit. It's very easy for Christians to know each other after the flesh. Very easy. It's easy for us to know each other into the soul realm, in the soul realm. And even that's not good. When we get involved with other Christians in the flesh or in the soul realm, any demon spirits they're walking under can and probably will start to influence us. This is why all of our relationships must be kept in the realm of the Spirit. Just because someone is religious, just because they like to talk about God all day long or the things of the Spirit all day long, that doesn't mean they're spiritual. That doesn't mean they're free. It doesn't mean they're spiritual. You know, religious demons love to talk about God all day long. I know people who are possessed, absolutely, totally, literally possessed. They talk about God in a nut house all day long. I have a friend who I went to school with. He thinks God is a sun. I visited him one time, and he quoted the Hebrews to me where it says, God is a flaming fire. For our God is a flaming fire, something like that. He said, and God showed him God is a sun. You know, and I sat here for 2 hours and talked to him, and he, nothing but religion, religion. I mean, you can talk about religion all day long, God all day long, the Bible all day long, overcoming all day long, going to the cross all day long. It can be a religious spirit. So religious spirits like to talk about God. So it's not just the point of finding somebody you can fellowship with who likes to talk about God or talk about religious things. You got to know what spirit you're of. Okay? That's why John said, in 1 John 4:1, he said, beloved, believe not every spirit. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they have God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. And as I said, another teaching about this, you know, the apostles must have known and been familiar with the reality and the work of demon spirits, because when John warns us against people about the air of these false prophets, he says, would attest the spirits that those men walk under. The spirits. Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, test the doctrine. He didn't say, oh, people, test the doctrine of these prophets, because many prophets are going out, many false. Test the spirit. Test the spirits that walk, the walking under. Well, in order to test the spirit of a person, you must first learn how to recognize spirits to begin with. You got to be able to recognize what a spirit is and how it moves and what it means and how it feels. You know what I mean? If you can't recognize or determine what another spirit is moving or what another spirit feels like or senses or sounds like, how can you possibly test the spirit of anyone?